This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
All right, he was in over the weekend. You guys told me that Sammy actually took a day off finally on Friday, but
smart move.
He was there in the Western. I listened to his entire post game show on my drive back from Nevada yesterday. A sad post game show after a sweep, but he tried to keep it as upbeat as possible. In season, Sammy Levitt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning to you, Sammy.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Did you like our reverse the curse there? I thought it sounded pretty good.
I did. And I don't know if you guys, I saw the NBC broadcast played it at the end, but also the Philly social media team, they were having fun with it too.
Oh, so, of course they did. Yeah, we just talked about it. Really fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was that kind of weekend, but all's fair, right? We would be laughing if the Padres social media team did something like that.
Oh,
so all's fair when the series goes the way it did over the weekend, I guess.
Yep.
Sammy, since we talked to you last Monday, Mike Schilt had a, I don't want to call it a meltdown, but he certainly had a feisty moment with the media in Colorado. And then this weekend, you know, he has this tendency to go relentlessly positive even when things are going bad. You interact with him almost every single day. What's your kind of analysis of where Mike Schilt stands here with the team struggling? Does he really believe the positive stuff that he talks about with the media, or do you feel like there may be a different message behind closed doors for the team?
Well, I think with Mike Schilt, obviously, we've seen some of that, you know, fire in him, whether it's, you know, getting at the umpires or obviously what we saw after the game on Thursday in that interaction, even though, you know, he was really getting fired up and talking positively about his team while doing it. You know, look, I can't imagine that he is all that pleased with how it's going. And I don't know how much of that is the record, you know, and how much of that is just the fact that this team, for the most part, has not played a great brand of baseball, right? As far as falling behind in a lot of games, as far as not playing very clean defense, although actually in this four-game losing skid, they've actually played better defense, but before that, wasn't very good defensively. And, you know, fundamentally, I don't think it's been really clean so far. We've seen guys getting picked off quite a bit. I mean, you know, the thing we heard about Mike Schilt when he took the job was that this is somebody that really, really keys in on the fundamentals and will clean up some of those things. And I don't think this team has played a particularly clean or fundamentally sound brand of baseball to this point. That's not the whole reason the record's 14-17, but that is some of the reason. So I have to imagine, despite, you know, and this is just me speculating here, but despite, you know, him being pretty positive to the media, and I think he should be. I mean, it is April 28th, and we've got a long way to go, and there was a good point made in Kevin Acey's newsletter this morning, which I didn't realize, you know, that you know, a couple of Mike Schilt's teams in St. Louis that, you know, ended up with good records at the end of the season, you know, we're sort of middling in the early part and middle of the season. So I think he probably has that perspective that it's a long year and we've got a long way to go, and that can be true. But also that I don't think this team has played the brand of baseball that he, I would imagine, probably wants it at this point. But I understand the positivity this early, and when you've got a team with veterans that need to play better and you're still relying on the back of the baseball card, and I know it's all the things we talked about last year, but 31 games into your first year at the helm, I understand why he's, you know, spoken to the media post-game very positively and pointing out the positives. But, you know, I would imagine behind closed doors, You know, he's probably not all that happy with the way they've played based on sort of what we know about Mike Schilt and what he values.
Talking to our pal Sammy, in-season Sammy here on Ben and Wood. Sammy, you've been doing a great job. The lineup change yesterday, I think, was a little bit needed, certainly, and moving some guys around, getting Xander maybe out of the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
Did Mike Schilt talk about his reasoning for that? I missed that entirely. Did he talk about, you know, the plan going forward? I got to imagine, you know, just giving one day for Xander out of the leadoff is probably not going to happen. I mean, you got a lefty on the bump tonight. You know, they have the opportunity to do some different things. Yeah. I just wonder if they will.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded yesterday, obviously, like there was, you know, reasoning to just shake it up, right, based on what the offense had done the 2 days prior. I think there was a little bit of matchup stuff in there, too, because you look at Jurickson Profar, A, he's playing well. He's been arguably the team's best overall hitter, right, to this point, which is a good thing, but also not what you want or
right.
you expect, right,
100%.
Over the course of a couple of months here. I mean, that's great for Profar.
It's such a gift.
Awesome.
Yeah,
right.
It's such a gift.
It's a gift. You're right. It's a little cherry on top of the cake, right? But it can't be the whole cake, right? I mean, that's gotta come from the guys who are making the big bucks. So, but back to the lineup. I mean, we'll see today. I think a little bit of it was matchup based. If you looked at, I think it was Profar's numbers against Walker, they were pretty good. I'm jogging my memory now to look at what I wrote post game, but I think that was part of it. Something I talked about post game was Profar having good numbers against Walker. So that may have been a little part of it, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see a similar looking lineup today. I think if you're going to make a shakeup like that, you've got to give it, you know, a few days at least to see how it ultimately performs. And look, yesterday they were able to generate 6 runs. That clearly was not enough for yesterday or in this series. It also came both times in a span of 3 batters. They got 3 runs really quickly. And aside from that, they didn't do a whole lot. I mean, it was awesome that they made it a 1-run game yesterday. But hey, you get Profar on second base with 1 out and you've got Tatis and Jake behind him. They've got to find a way to get him in when you've got that kind of momentum. And, you know, I know this isn't necessarily a point about the lineup, but to me, that was the story of the series. I mean, your 3 highest paid guys, Manny, Xander, and Fernando Tatis Jr., were 4-for-29 with a double. And, you know, in most 3 game series, that's not going to be nearly enough from those guys because they are so important to this offense. But even more so than that, when you're playing this Phillies team, which is just loaded and they're playing great baseball and they're pitching really well, just not enough, right? You need more pop. You need more slug. You need more from those guys. And it is imperative that they start getting that from those guys because the schedule is not any easier coming up.
Sam, you sound like Woods did earlier. And neither of you are wrong. Stars have to play like stars. But ultimately, and while, yes, Ranger Suarez and Aaron Nola held the Padres down, the Padres have still scored the 4th most runs in baseball. The offense has been better this year. To me, the difference this year has been mostly in the starting pitching. And the biggest difference in the starting pitching, Sammy, has been in the home runs allowed. One of the stats today that all of Michael King's runs, other than like 4 of them this year, have come on home runs allowed. Joe Musgrove is something similar. The yeah. long ball has been an incredible problem for the Padres pitching staff this season. What's the discussion going on there? And is that something that seems like fixable to you?
You know, it's interesting, right? I mean, again, we talk about the problems, you know, from this series. And really, if you want to go back even further, and this is including that start for Michael King in Milwaukee, you know, if you go back to that game where they lost 1-0, even including that King start, which was tremendous, the starting pitching has nearly a 6 ERA in the last 11 games. And this weekend, you know, giving up 18 earned runs total in 15 innings, albeit to a really powerful Phillies lineup that has some really hot hitters in it. But, you know, that's tough. And that, you know, puts your offense and your team at a real disadvantage when you're giving up those kinds of run totals from your starting pitching. As far as can it be fixed, I think it can. I mean, I think each guy is a bit of a different situation. Obviously, Joe has been up and down, really struggled on Friday. You know, he says he feels great. Mike Schilt says he feels good. You know, he is coming off the shoulder issue last year. Is that affecting him at all? Is that why the velocity's a little bit down? Again, I can only go off what, he and Mike Schultz say, and all the physical stuff, you know, they've said is good. So, you know, you hope Joe can settle into one of those grooves, much like we saw last year. I think certainly Joe is very capable of that, but he's got to obviously go out and settle into that groove. You know, I'm not worried about Dylan Cease out of the five. You know, I think, you know, that was him facing a really good lineup on Saturday. And by the way, all the damage for Cease came with two outs. So that really could have been a different outing for Cease. I'm not all that concerned about him. Look, Yu Darvish is coming off the IL, and the results have, you know, not been, you know, all that great so far with you. I mean, it's been up and down, so we'll see when he comes off the IL what he looks like. And then for Michael King, look, it's, if he can just stop giving up home runs, I think he'll be fine. You know, we've sort of seen what the potential of Michael King is, but the home runs have just been a huge issue. But for him, again, he's a guy that is doing something he's never done before, which is be a starting pitcher from the very outset of a season. So I think he's somebody who ultimately can settle into a groove. And then, you know, Matt Waldron, I think, has given you what you expect, you know, your number five starter to give you at this point. But obviously, you know, things could hypothetically go sideways with him, but they could also go really well with him. So, look, I think in the cases of Darvish and Musgrove, you're hoping they settle in. I'm not very worried about Cease. You know, I think if King can just figure out a way to limit these home runs, I think it'll go well for him, and you'll see what you get from Waldron. So I do think there is a path to turning it around with this rotation, but there's no doubt, Ben, that, man, it's so important that they get, you know, a better next turn or two from this rotation in order to win some more games, because, you know, when you're giving up, you know, 18 runs in 15 innings over the course of a three-game series from your starting staff and just falling behind, it's really hard to win baseball games like that. But I still am, I would say, on the whole, optimistic that we will see, you know, better from this rotation over the course of the long haul.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, and you know, as far as the run, I'm not going to harp on the runs scored and things like that. They've been a little bit better this year, but you also got to remember there's a 15. They scored 15 one game. They scored 13 another. They scored 10 another. Their sweet spot right now is about two runs. That's the most out of the number of runs they've scored in a game. They've done that the most. It's seven times. Now, one little bright spot: six runs. They've done that six times. Scored six yesterday and didn't get the win. So the feast or famine. It's a little bit. It's not as bad as last year, certainly, because you did feel like last year's game. They would have won that game yesterday against Taijuan Walker 12-1, right? You get bodied the first two games at home. You barely score. And then you go in and you beat Taiwan Walker. You score 12 runs. And go, oh, okay, maybe we're figuring something out. But, you know, you take away the 15 and the 13, pretty average team runs scored-wise. So just kind of something to monitor as we move forward. It has been a little bit better, but these last four games have really been a tough look.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously the game on Thursday was a bit of an anomaly in the sense that the offense actually did a really good job, right, in scoring early and then tacking on, but then it all came crashing down in that eighth inning. I mean, you know, since that eighth inning, I think I calculated yesterday, I'm trying to look it up here, I can't find the number that I wrote down, but, you know, if you go back to how they've been outscored since that eighth inning, it isn't very pretty, and obviously you were hoping that loss would not turn into a losing skid, and it has. Now, is that all on the Padres and the way they've played? I think part of it is, but I also think that part of it is the fact that this Phillies team is really good, and I'm not making one big excuse for the Padres, but look, we saw there's a gap right now between these two teams, the way the Phillies are pitching, the way they're hitting, the way their stars are performing, even guys that aren't among their highest paid players, like an Alec Bohm, my goodness, I mean, he's just unbelievable right now, so there was a gap this weekend, and unfortunately, you know, from that eighth inning on Thursday on, yeah, I mean, it's sort of, you know, snowballed into a losing skid, and the Reds have, you know, played pretty well, and tonight's starting pitcher, Nick Lodolo, for them, has been pretty good. So, again, you look at this schedule, it's not getting much easier for a while.
You know, that's a fair point that the Phillies are a red-hot team. They were hot before they got here. Every team in baseball will run into a hot team and get swept. I mean, there will be no team that doesn't get swept at some point. Yet, when it comes to the Padres, we do feel like, and maybe this is a good sign, we still feel like they should be able to compete against these teams. Are we being fair that we say, hey, you know, even after all the changes and the lowering of the payroll, we still feel like this team should be able to compete against a team like the Philadelphia Phillies.
They should be better.
I agree. You know? I agree.
Joe pitches better. You know, Cease pitches better. Yeah, I really thought they'd win the Dylan Cease game. I really did. As hot as Ranger Suarez had been, Cease had been really, really good. And what he did at Colorado was just massively impressive. And I thought that they would win. I thought that they would win, split those first two, and then really have a good shot yesterday. Turns out they did have a decent shot to win yesterday, but just couldn't get it done.
Yeah. And I think to your guy's point, I mean, look, they're playing the Phillies at a time where the Phillies are playing really, really, really well. And look, the Phillies are going to be really good. I mean, that team is probably going to win upwards of 90 towards 100 games, especially with the way they look right now and the way they're pitching. You know, but keep in mind, you know, this was the same Padres team that a couple of weeks ago had that run against the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Brewers where they won all those series. And we were very high and impressed on how they were playing. I think the truth of this team right now probably lies somewhere in the middle, right? Where, you know, they're not as bad as they looked this weekend. They're probably also not as great as they looked over that run. Right now, they probably sit somewhere in the middle. You know, at this current moment, you've lost four in a row, so it doesn't feel great. But again, I said this yesterday in the post game. I just think, you know, right now it's imperative, though, they start playing better, and you don't let this kind of losing skid get out of hand, because again, with the schedule and what we learned last year is when you get below 500 and you get 3, 4, 5 games
time's up, 5 seconds left, we'll catch you on the EcoWater pregame show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.